down, and I don't. We'll test the worship team's abilities here, but I just felt the Lord singing it from His perspective over us, where He was saying, "You're no longer a slave to fear; you are a child of Mine." And if you look at the word, you can actually apply that to the whole song. But if I could convince the awesome anointing talent of the worship team just to flip that song, and I want you guys to receive this from the Lord's perspective. You know, we're declaring that from a position that I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm a child of God. But I want to just take a minute where we receive that from the Lord, where He's declaring over us that you are no longer a slave to fear, that you are a child of Mine. And just take a minute just to receive that, because that's a truth and a revelation that the Lord's heart and desire is for us to walk in every moment. That there was a scripture shared last night. I think it was Psalm 139. Yeah, but it talks about there's nowhere that we can go to hide from God, that He will pursue us and chase after us anywhere and everywhere we go. And the Lord wants us to grab onto that revelation, because that's really the key that unlocks the freedom that we need to walk into every other freedom. That we are His child, we are His son, we are His daughter. So let's just take a minute just to receive those words, that revelation from the Father's heart, that you are no longer a slave, that you are a child of God. So let's see what you got there, God.
Drink in the closeness, drink in the benefits of being mine.
Arms of love around each one of us, saying, "My child, I love you. My child, I have freed you from fear. My child, this is the day that I will show you my great and mighty heart." Testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Lord, we hold fast to that word, and we thank you, Lord, that we desire you and pursue love and pursue you more and more and more, and desire you in the depths of the places that only you can reach. Create in us a hunger, God, that knows no end. Fill us to overflowing this morning, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Let the testimony of our life, Lord, be mirrored to that which you say it can be. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, we seek you. We love you. We remember you. This is our firm resolve, God. Just sing out the song of the Lord. Sing out the song of the Lord. Yes, yes. Release the song of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We agree, Lord. Deeper, 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 deeper. You sing with Peter and Jamie.
Deeper, 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 deeper still. Deeper, 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 deeper still.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, we choose to position ourselves, God, in that deeper place, knowing there's deeper, deeper, deeper places in you. Knowing, Father, that as we just offer ourselves willingly, we know that you will take us and just submerge us, Father, in the valley of your presence, in the beauty of your complete and total wastelands of love. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let this be the cry of our hearts, God. Yes, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Yes, Lord. We have so much to be grateful for. So much to be thankful for, don't we? The Lord is stirring us in a place where his presence is becoming stronger and stronger here in the depths of our hearts, and that will in turn, just as a result, stir up such a place of thanksgiving and gratitude. And he wants us to understand his, not only the fact that we love to say we are of the kingdom and the kingdom of the Lord lives inside, kingdom is within, and we want to see his kingdom spread, but he wants us to understand his kingdom ways. He wants us to be able to track with him moment by moment and partner with what he's doing at the moment. What are you doing? What are you saying? Where do you want me to be? How do you want me to live? What do you want me to say? We bring it right down to how do we hear you, God? How do we discern your voice from the voice of our own self or another voice? How do we do that? Because I believe that would be everyone's desire in here. That's the posture of our heart. Say, God, I just want to follow you. Jesus said he could do nothing without you. He said that he was nothing. He couldn't do anything. He couldn't be who he was created to be. He couldn't grow in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and man. Can you imagine the king of the universe saying that? But he couldn't. Without that heartbeat of heaven staying so tethered. And the Lord is saying to us, I really believe from this time that he is increasing the very culture that we desire. He's increasing the intensity of that culture. He's increasing the intensity of a culture which is a place that the Lord says things happen where there's an ebb and there's a flow and there's agreement and there's covenant for things that actually are. So in your own home, if there's a place, just a being of fear, that's what you live in. And the Lord says, I've set you free from fear, as we heard this morning again. And when we hear those words and we decree them over ourselves, we embrace them, we just saturate ourselves with, yes, that's true. There's something that's ignited in the atmosphere of heaven that breaks loose. There's a shift, and that releases the power of God in our lives to be able to take that next step, which is going lower and deeper. That's the beauty of the kingdom. He says it's not flowery words. It's the embracing of what he's really about and what he's saying and doing and what he is expressing at that moment for us, moment by moment, second by second. Jesus was tethered to the Father's heart. And the scripture tells us that he is the exact representation and copy of the Father. So Father is here in spirit and in truth. Jesus is here in spirit and in truth. Holy Spirit is here in spirit and in truth. And we have the privilege of partnering with that as we're made in his image. Is that so amazing? Is that so incredible? Is that so stimulating to not only our minds, but in our hearts? Our hearts are just ready to explode. Just even with the mere glimpse of what that could look like, where heaven would be released through us because the Holy Spirit lives inside. That's the truth. That's the truth of the gospel of the kingdom. And we know that. We know that inside. We know that that's something that God's doing right now. You can feel him. You can sense him. You can know him in those ways. That's the unstoppable kingdom on the inside. The Lord is saying, I've created each one of you to be unstoppable for me. Nothing will stand in your way. Nothing. I have given you as an heir of my kingdom, an heir to the throne of God, an heir. He's God, we're not. But we are an heir, we're co-joint heirs with him. That wrecks me when I even say the words. It just makes me want to sing and cry and shout and dance with everything, every bit of the capacity in me that releases life because he's the releaser. So when I say these words to you, you know, and have the privilege of holding this, to be able to use words, you know, use your words. I know that the atmosphere of heaven is shifting, is changing, is increasing. And there's this atomic bomb of love that's released here in the chambers of our heart that only God can get to. You know, nobody else, the person next to you, can touch you to a degree. Just saying. But it's the chambers of the heart from heaven, just and that constant download from God is never ending. That's what constant means. So even, you know, with the things that are going on and swirling in our world in life, the Lord says, I'm here, I've got your back. I'm here, I love you. I'm here, I care about you. I'm here, you are the best thing that ever happened to me. Can you imagine the Father saying that about you? That's so good. Carl and Darlene are just experiencing that with Riley just being born, our little baby we're so excited to have in the family. So excited. We already showed her a picture of her, and you know. But here she is. This beautiful child of the King. But you can imagine the heartbeat of Carl and Darlene when they look at each other, okay, and then just cry, I'm sure. Is that true? No, don't answer. Anyway, with joy, not sadness, but joy. It's like, wow, look what us together brought out for. This is amazing. So cool. But this is a child of promise. Just a little baby can do nothing except eat, sleep, and poop. Okay, nothing except Carl and Darlene and those around would be able to raise her up, right? And so Jesus, can you imagine having that relationship with the Father and saying to us, hey, you were made in my image. Everything is possible with you. There's nothing that's impossible. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Come on, nothing is impossible with him. Nothing. And we clap because it's true. We clap because we go, yeah, yes, and amen. Nothing. So what does the stupid devil try? To get us to think that things are impossible for God. And we miss the opportunity to step out into the impossible and say, here I am, take care of me like baby Riley. Come on, that's our big daddy. He's here. Oh, Rabba Shiki. What a great morning. I'm so glad we're not bound by something. We can just be who we are. This is so good. This is so good. Just a little introduction to whatever Cynthia is going to say. So she's got something on her heart.
Yes and amen. God is good. He's good and he's always advancing. He's always moving forward. And we have the opportunity to partner with some more advancing in the spirit for our community, for our country, for our families. I wanted to share with you today about an event that we are partnering with, coming under and supporting, and that is the Wailing Wall Project. How many of you were a part of or connected with God Likes Me movement in this past summer? That was an amazing outpouring of God's love in our community, in our region, in our area. And the Wailing Wall is a continuation of that. It's taking it another level. And in April 30th through May 2nd at 7 p.m. every night, there's going to be a solemn assembly, and it's going to be worship and intercession, prayer, standing together for our community once again for freedom and deliverance, for healing and unconditional love to be poured out on all people and also obviously on the LGBT community. There's flyers that'll be in the back that you can have. Another way that we're going to partner with them is that each all churches in the area are going to be creating prayer walls. And what that's going to look like is there's cards here, prayer stones, and it asks for your name, your city, and then a prayer. And we'll be getting more of these, and as those are become available, we'll get them to you. But what you do is you fill it out, and then we create a wall with these. So it'll probably be in the overflow room. We'll let you know exactly where that's going to be. But from now until this event, we're going to be filling out cards, and the encouragement is to literally go stand at the wall and pray for all of those on our hearts, all of those that need that. And then what's going to happen is that all the individual walls are going to come together at the event, and they're going to create one giant wall of prayer and intercession. So it's going to be a powerful thing. There's going to be people coming in from different places. Lou Engel, Jaya Thomas, Richie Clark, Chris Burns, Ryan and Nina Landis, they're all going to be partnering with this. So we want to, again, partner with that fully. If you text 7272, you can get a digital flyer for your phone that you can share on Facebook, via text, via email. There's a logo that you can even adjust or change your profile picture on Facebook from now leading up to the event, just to get the word out and to promote that we want and believe that God is pouring out his spirit here in Ohio, in our community, in this house, and all the houses that love him in spirit and in truth. So that is the Wailing Wall, April 30th through May 2nd, every night, 7 p.m. It is a free event, but you must register. There's limited seating, and if you don't register, you can't just show up and walk in, because only those that are registered will be. You'll get a digital e-ticket confirmation of some sort. So you have to register. So there'll be more information on how to do that. I believe there's a website where that can be done. awailingwall.com. awailingwall.com. And the event is at Church on the North Coast, Valley View in Valley View, Ohio. Yes? Amen? Are we excited about prayer and intercession? We should. And there's our 24/7 prayer is coming up in this house the earlier part in April, and you'll hear more about that on the video announcement, so also mark that off. We can show the announcements now.
Thanks, Bethany. Thanks, Carly, except you're not here. We don't have anything from India yet. We don't know why, but this is not unusual. We're overseas. Usually Andy and Troy and others are scurrying around trying to get the updates updated or uploaded, and, you know, many times there's a glitch, so maybe that's what's going on here. I don't know. As Pastor Bill said, things are going well. I don't know exactly what that means. Other than he says they're running out the door. It's going really well. I know that they've met with Pastor Rohit and the community there. They're in New Delhi, if you're new to this place or visiting or whatever. They're in New Delhi, India, and they'll be there this week, be there in New Delhi for this week, and then head to Rajahmundry. And then Michelle and Andy will be joining Pastor Bill and Carly as well. So, yay. Things are happening. Things are going well. I know there's a pastor's conference that Pastor Bill is leading with Carly somehow, and she's helping and working and maybe preaching. I don't know. But he's leading that. And I don't know much more than that. There was a big surprise coming up, so I don't know what it is because Pastor Bill didn't know what it was. But anyway, I just wanted to mention to you about the announcements. If there's anything that you're doing here that's not hitting the announcements, please come and say something because it's never intentional. It's a, oops, I forgot to put that in. So don't think that whatever you're doing is not making our survey up here. It's just probably forgotten. So please do that and say, hey, did you remember about whatever? That'd be really helpful. And I think there was, Lawrence was going to say something, I think, about the classes or something. Yes? Okay.
So I will be sharing Thursday night. Who's been a part of the Thursday night classes? Who's enjoying Thursday night's classes? Okay. I think I saw like two hands go down. So overall, almost everybody. That's great. Good job. So Thursday nights we're doing, it's called Demonstrations of the Kingdom, correct? Did I get the name right? Demonstration of the Kingdom? It's demonstrations. There's multiple. Okay. So I'll be sharing Thursday night, and I just kind of wanted to share just encouragement. If you guys were not at the end of last Thursday's class, please grab the video, the rest of the stuff. There was an impartation at the end, and I gave homework so that you guys are ready for next Thursday because these things have been building. They're absolutely, what's the right word? I want to say fun, but they're really challenging, and it's been really cool just to see. I've been diving into all the scriptures and everything that we've been talking about, and I'm getting really excited as I've been preparing for the last week and a half about everything that the Lord wants to do. But I really believe that it's opening the door for us to step into a new increase for what the Lord wants to do and demonstrating to us how to mature in those things as far as a lot of us who have had teaching and training in those things over the years. It's one, increasing a hunger, but it's also increasing an expectation for a maturity to increase in all of those areas. So it's been a really fun impartation. If you guys haven't had a chance to be a part of that class, I'm pretty sure we'll offer it again. But definitely, it's been a lot of fun. And I think Peter, where's Pedro at? Did he have a testimony specific to the classes that he wanted to share? I have a couple testimonies, but I'm going to wait until Thursday's class to share some of those things. So you better show up. I'm going to be doing that at 6:30. Like, I'm going to watch the second hand turn around. So if you're not there at 6:30, you're going to miss everything. Did I hear Peter had a testimony, something he wanted to share? Is he occupied getting off the stage after worship? Can you hear me, Peter? Can you hear me in the back? He's coming. Oh, we have an announcement. Pedro's going to share.
So we're talking about the demonstrations of the kingdom, right? Okay, so first of all, this is absolutely necessary. The kingdom of heaven must be demonstrated, and it must be demonstrated in power and intimacy. What these particular classes are doing, they're assembling a group of people that are united in covenant, first and foremost. And, you know, really from that position, that's the only place that intimacy can flow, is out of covenant. Otherwise, it just looks like intimacy, but it's not real intimacy. From that place, we are gaining a momentum. And it's a momentum that is founded in the Word of God, in the very powerful Word of God. And because when the Word gets inside of you, and it's in a place of intimacy, where the seed of the Word of God goes into a place of intimacy, it will produce life. And this is life that remains. This is fruit that remains. So when we come together, as we've been coming together, what I've been personally witnessing is, okay, we are all definitely in a shift. God is shifting things in the earth. He's shifting. And he's giving us eyes to see what he's doing in the earth. He's increasing discernment on the inside of us so we can discern what the Holy Spirit's doing. And he's positioning us as kids across the board. We're just many, many across the earth. Position us across the board to receive the word so it can go down into our hearts and really bear fruit that remains. That's his heart. That's his desire. That's what he's doing in the earth today. And you're seeing it all over the place as revival and prayers rising up and people's hearts are really getting in tune with the heart of God. And so, you know, yes, that's what I'm seeing. That's what I'm experiencing. I'm experiencing a deeper level of intimacy and just really seeing the heart of God go deeper into our hearts, cultivating that soil and covenant love so that real fruit, that as it springs up, can remain. Amen.
Hi, June 6th is Cool Day Project is June 6th, and next week I'm going to put a sign-up sheet at the back for, and I want you to, if you can be here or be at the Cool Day Project for June 6th, just sign up on that sheet and put your skills, whatever skills you have. It could be anything that from cleaning to painting to just whatever you can do so I can start putting teams together here shortly. So, and then registration, Jay, is March 29th. So that kicks off registration day. So, and it's, we're going to try to have it all done online. So we're going to have computers on that day in the back for people to register. So thanks.
Spence is heading that up this year for our church, and then we come under a banner of another group, Cool Project Group, and there are people from all over the county that are going to be helping. Churches help in one day building up and refurbishing different areas, different housing selection areas, different neighborhoods. And in this year, it's going to be just similar to last year where it was in Massillon, and so we take individual houses, and then we just come in and we invade the place, and then we clean it up and we paint and do all kinds of stuff. So very practical ministry, but it's a real witness, the testimony and the love of Jesus to the people around. So there's a lot more he'll tell you about later, but we've been doing this and helping out Cindy Mandrell and others who are overseeing this. And so if you want to be part of that, that's what the Cool Project is all about. And you can look online at our website and you can see pictures from the past. But it's a one-day event, so you can bring your kids, and it's really awesome. So all right, we're going to go ahead and release the kids to Kingdom Land and just continue on with the good things that God has given us, hoping that sometime during this message we'll have some information from India to be able to share. That would be great. Amen. Is anybody having a good time this morning? Yeah, is this a great morning? When you wake up in the morning, do you ever anticipate that things are really going to be like this, that they're going to be this strong, they're going to be this encouraging, they're going to be this amazing, they're going to be this, and you just add the other, you know, adjective on. So do you ever think about that? Or do you get up in the morning and think, oh, here we go, it's church day and I've got this job? You know, I don't know. People have different ways of looking at things, and the enemy certainly doesn't want us to be anticipating, but God does. The Lord wants us to anticipate what he's going to do next. And that's the nature of what the Lord was putting on my heart. What am I up to, says the Lord, and what am I going to do next? And how do you keep yourself in a place where you're looking forward, you're anticipating, you're excited about what the next step's going to be? You know, because, you know, we're in a journey, and many times it's not easy to be able to say, okay, great, I'm just filled up to overflowing, and I'm just ready to be walking on top of the water, you know, with joy in my heart. And one of the ways that God says, I can help you with that so that you can really increase, you can really be stirred up, one of those ways is to understand the nature and the power of what it's like in heaven coming to earth when we really embrace what the Lord has said, what the Lord has done, the testimony of the past. Testimony, that's what it is. It's a testifying of someone, something. And so as we study history, just natural history, we can look into the past and go, wow, that was amazing. what happened in that war in that country, how that divided and that became another region. And oh my gosh, that's how this happened. And look at how this reign of government seemed to be able to move in such a way that affected the people groups of that time. And that's great, and that's basic history 101, knowing events. But those who really study from a historical perspective, moves of God or even moves of people, whatever it would be in a historical context, if they have, as they have, I should say, the wisdom of God, they are able to say, Lord, what were you saying and what were you doing during that time? Even during the Crusades, you know, even during the Holocaust, you know, things like that, things in historical time periods that we have the privilege of actually going and reading about that have already taken place. But God was alive then as he is alive now, and he had something to say about that, and he had something to do in that, and he was involved in some aspect one way or the other because he's God and he's alive. So therefore, as we increase in the anointing ourselves, which is the power of God coming upon us. Hi, Joe. Welcome. Good to see you. Hi. God wants us to know that how he views situations, events, historical places and context, that's what he wants us to track with, in addition to, obviously, chronological events. So we can read the Bible from that perspective as well. We can read the Bible and think, okay, my gosh, I can memorize all 66 books of the Bible. I can memorize the events. I can know in chronological order who came where, what happened when, what king preceded what king, etc. We can know all those things, and that's important. And I think everybody in here would agree that's factual. We need to know that. It's important. But the question would be why? Why is that so important? Well, it gives us an idea of framework of where we are, where we've come from, and where we are now. True. What else? You know, so it's one of those questions where we can start probing and thinking and then pulling out the deeper meanings behind. So the question might be, all right, so when you study the Bible, when you read the Bible, and when you are looking at things contextually, and you're reading about events, let's say Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came in, was poured out, there was an outpouring, he was poured out, and there was a beginning of a new realm, a new covenant, a new time, a new period, a new testimony was going to be created that we are the recipients now of in this new covenant with the Holy Spirit now being poured out on all flesh and now living in the inside of us to that degree. Very little explanation of that, much more to come. But the point is, where does that fit historically in that timeline? And why is that so important? Does it matter? Well, I just know that there's an old covenant and a new covenant, and I'm just supposed to hang with Jesus and think about the new and know that the old was important to some degree, but, you know, I kind of get that figured out. You know, I go to Deuteronomy or whatever and go, whatever, let me get into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know, and the Lord wants us to see that he was so real at that time, so invigoratingly profound, where he was saying, hello, I am on the scene. Guess who I am? Guess what I did? Guess what I was thinking? Guess what I was part of? And that has a vital bearing on who you are right now. That changes. That creates a paradigm shift, and that changes how we view things. Like, whoa, you mean that was important? It's important that I really understand the life of King Nebuchadnezzar and why he ate grass? Yes. And the nature of God and the character of the Lord involved in the people at that time? Yes. Why? Why is it so important? I was talking to Andy and Nikki for a little bit out in the hall or in the office, and I walked in, was in and out, and I walked in at one point, and there was this shift during worship when we were singing about you opened up the Red Sea, okay? And we were able to walk on that dry land then as a result of you. And as I walked in at that moment, and it was already high worship, you know, we think of high worship. It's like, oh, yes, God, you're so great. But when that declaration came, there was this in the spirit, because there was an awareness that was created, that was unlocked, that had already taken place. There was a historical event that people might try to debate, but it actually happened. It's not a little picture. It's not a story. It's not an allegory. It's a real live thing that God did. It was the miraculous power of God that was released, okay? But more than that, with that miraculous power, we're in awe going, wow, do it again, God. Wow, that was amazing. But he said, do you know who I was at that time to those people? And do you know I was thinking about you even during that time and what you were going to do with your life right now? It's like, well, no. Oh, yeah. There's such a depth of understanding that God wants to take us to where we go deeper as we were singing out the song of the Lord. Let's go deeper. There's a deeper still. The Lord's saying there's a deeper place for us to hunger after, even if we don't know what it is. And he's created us for that. He's created us to hunger after the depth of the heart of our God, who's so big, and say, God, I just want more. I want you. And if we're not in that place, or growing in that place, I should say, we're all in that place to a degree. But if we're not growing in that place, you know, the Lord is saying, hey, I want to jumpstart you. I want to help you. I want to give you what you need to be able to do that. And I'll show you just by my nature in history how I'm going to do that. It's like, oh, good. So you don't leave it to me to figure it out. You've got that figured out too. Love it. God is so smart. So here we are in the new and better covenant. Here we are living our lives, you know, 2,000 years later, going, okay, now what, God? And we look back and we get so charged when we think about, he parted the Red Sea. But do we know that can work for us now? Do we really believe that? I have a testimony. I remember back when one of my sons was trying to get into college, and there was a waiting list of like close to 500 people to be able to get into this university. And we went and we looked at the place, and you know, it's like, okay, the sense is, God, this is what you want. This is where you want him to be. This is, I just know it. It's like, he wants to go there, plus he wants, this is it. But they're saying no. They're all saying no. What is this? They're saying we can't. We're sorry. We like you. We like your son. It's just not working for us. Not this year. In fact, what he can do is he can move up here and he can go to a branch, you know, a couple hours from the main campus, and he can do a little bit of time there. And then if you can work, you know, we'll see what happens. And by golly, the second year, it's probably going to work for you. My spirit's going, no, there was this inner no. So is that pushy? No, but it's pushing through something that was like, no. It's like, God. So I'm literally on my face. I'm crying in my room at night. He wasn't there at that point. He was staying in the dorms, and it was in a different state. And I'm crying out to the Lord going, God, this is just wrong. I mean, is this like the end of the world that your kid can't get into the university that he wants at that time? No, it's not the end of the world. But there were reasons why God wanted him there at that time. At that time. I didn't know all of them. I had some idea. And the Lord gave me a glimpse into some of the reasons why it was so important for him. So I'm laboring in prayer. I'm weeping before the Lord. And I'm pressing in, not begging God, just saying no. And I have this picture, this thought of, you're the miraculous God, you can do anything. So that's my plea. Let's go for it, God. So when I got next, we were in a 3-day weekend type of thing, you know. So I got there the next day, and I was talking to one of the deans. And I went up and I talked with him, and I didn't know what God was going to do. I didn't know how this was going to break out. I'm just this little mom going, hi, I want my kid to go to your school. And you're saying no. So I talked to this dean, and he said to me, I talked to them and I said, so can you tell me about your policies again and how this works? And then he repeated what needed to happen. He was really a nice guy. I was like, oh, this is great. You're so nice. And I said, well, I really would like him to go this year. And I really believe that's what's best. And I said, is there any way that that can happen? Kindly. And he said, get this. This is amazing. It was so good. So God. This guy looks at me and he says, no, I'm sorry. That's just not going to happen. And I said, well, I believe it can happen. I believe it will happen. I believe it. And he looks at me and he says, it would have to be as though the Red Sea was parted for that to happen. Honestly, I'm not kidding you not. Kid you not. And I said, it will part. It will happen. And I said, would you please stand in agreement with me for that? Seriously. That was that weird mom boldness coming out, you know? A long time ago. And he looked at me, and you know what he said? Yes, I will. I was like, you're agreeing with me. That's amazing. And he did. A few weeks later, I was at peace. A few weeks later, for no reason, I get an envelope. He gets an envelope and he says, you are accepted to start in the fall class. And he went to the God, absolutely. I have no idea how it happened. I didn't do anything. There was nothing that I physically did other than say, come on, God, let's go in. Because I was tracking at that moment with heaven. I felt that the Lord was saying, you know, it's not the end of the world here, honey, but what do you want? What's in your heart? I didn't know what would happen if he didn't get accepted. I decided, Lord, I don't want to make plans as though he's not accepted. I don't want to do that. I just want to believe. Now, that's my story. That's my testimony. And that just came to me. I hadn't even thought about that before standing up here, to be honest with you. Just poof, tell them that. I went, okay. But I really believe that the power of the testimony is so strong that God scripturally tells us, do it again. I want to repeat myself. I want to repeat what I did in the garden. Ha! Whoa, wait a minute here. You're talking way long time ago. Yeah, I want to. And so I sent Jesus because he needed to come back as the second and the final Adam. How about that? So you need to embrace the original, understanding what I intended. You need to know my intention. You need to know what I'm thinking about. You need to know my desire. You need to know what it means for me to have covenant relationship with you. What I'm feeling and thinking. What is my heart really saying? That's what you need. It's like, well, how do I get there? All I want to do is hear you. All I want to do is understand your voice. All I want to do is, you know, not just get lost in the quagmire of my own thoughts. I mean, we can go and start hanging out in nature and get lost in the quagmire of our own, wow, I'm just experiencing you, and we can miss something a whole lot better than that. Is that bad or wrong? It's not a matter of bad or wrong, but God is saying, what's best? What's best? What's best? And that's what he cares about, is what's best? What is best? It's like, okay, well, if you care about what is best, then I care about what is best. So that's my heart. I want to posture myself for that. But I'm not sure what he thinks. I'm not sure what he's thinking. And I'm not sure. Hooray! And that's the world we're in, trying to be positioned to be able to become so tethered, so close to his heart, that we're tracking with him. And we hear that still small voice. It's not the still small voice of Pastor Mary Pat. It's the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. Or at least as Pastor Mary Pat is thinking, it's energized by the Holy Spirit, and then we start thinking the same thoughts. That's cool, because we have a really powerful God living on the inside of us and wants to release through us in a big way. You know, and everybody here would go, yes and amen to that. There isn't anybody in here, I don't believe, who would say, well, that's really stupid. That's really dumb. Why would you want to know what God's thinking? I mean, you know, I'm speaking here to people who I believe know Jesus. And you do. I want to put a few scriptures up here. And Andy, are you in here, Andy? Did you find, he was going to look up some testimonies for me. What did you find? Okay, and then the video? Oh, that's, really? And the video of the girl or the video of the whole? Didn't find that. Okay. Alrighty then. Well, let's do this. Let's put up Sergio, the first picture. Okay, some of you know this guy. This is Pastor Sergio at Casa de Jesus in Brazil. He's a friend of ours, compadre in the spirit. And this is his wife, Simone, and their little baby, David. And we were there, Pastor Bill and I, and Troy and Tiana that year? I don't remember. Anyways, 2012. We go overseas so often, I forget who's with us sometimes, so sorry. One of you or both of you were there. And the baby, David, he had a hole in his heart. So they asked me, you know, I think it was the year before, to come and pray for him. Put my hands on him, prayed for him, and he was healed. And they went to the doctor, and the doctor said they were going to do surgery. And the doctor said, this is amazing. There's no reason this should be healed. This is definitely miraculous, however that went. And they were so excited, they actually sent a, we did a little video testimony of this. And we have the papers from the medical side of things to support this. And we can't right now find that video, but we will. I'll get it. I'll call Brazil and say send it again. Because it's a powerful testimony of who Jesus is and what he did in 2012. So you see a picture and you go, oh, that's really nice. God, yay, God. Woohoo. Okay. Fast forward then, 1 year later, you can show the video. This is at another church in Brazil.
With a cane and has had pain in his leg for a few years, and all the pain is gone. It's, and you saw him walking across the front.
It's lucky.
The Lord is healing right now. And when I was walking around, somebody asked me if I could pray for this little girl. You could feel it. You put your hand there.
Se você colocar sua mão lá, você consegue sentir.
And so I prayed for her, and the mama wants to share the testimony. She cannot find it.
Service would be a service of cure. So she took boss, she received this word and she came. And when she came and saw Pastora Mary Pett praying for that that layman, she just wanted to ask Mary Pett to pray for her child. So she came up to Pastor Mary Pett and she prayed, and now she cannot feel the tumor anymore. So praise the Lord.
Okay, that's good. Okay, that's another. It just goes on. It was an amazing morning of miracles. Isn't that awesome? That's really cool. And during that service, we believe that we prayed for another. This was 2013 then, if we have the dates right. Prayed for another person who had a little baby who had two holes in his heart. I had shared the testimony of Davi at this service. If I'm not mistaken, we kind of scrambled here. And if I got any of these facts wrong on timing and years, I'll let you know. But we tried to put this together this morning. But the idea, I definitely know these things happen, just not sure of the exact years. And I shared what happened at Casa de Jesus with Davi. And I said, the Lord healed this baby. And this is what happened, and here's the testimony of it. When we went back in 2014, which was last year, a year ago, January, we went back, these people came up and said, this child of mine, and we have a picture somewhere, and I'm so sorry, I can't give it to you. My child had two holes in his heart. And when you prayed, when you talked about Davi, and when you spoke about that, Jesus healed my baby. Jesus healed my baby. And they were crying, and they were so excited. I don't remember if Troy or Tiana remember that. They were there. One or both of them were there. I don't remember. But it was very exciting because the Lord was saying, I'm trying to make a point here. Okay, this didn't even happen in their midst. But here you are testifying of this, and I did it again. And the Hebrew word for testimony is do again, do it again. And that's the Hebrew meaning, Hebrew word. And so God wants to tell us something more about this than we've ever understood before, because this is not new to this house. But there may have been a slumbering, like, here, everybody go like this. From a place of being familiar, you know? We've been doing this for how many years? How many times have I seen a testimony? That if we don't understand the weight of the power of the testimony of what God wants to do and why, historically why, we may not even understand the necessity, if you will, for us to be able to step into something like this or to pursue areas in Scripture or to be able to read a Scripture that tells us what God wants us to do and get excited about it and go, oh my gosh, yeah, that's what I really want, I want to do. I see that. So it's very important, you know, if we're going to sustain a prophetic culture, a healing culture that's here, the culture of the kingdom, if we're going to see it grow, sustain means that it stays. And when if it's only going to stay, if it grows. And why? Because the Lord takes us from glory to glory to glory. Okay, so that's increase upon increase upon increase. So the enemy's job would be to decrease, decrease, decrease. The awareness, the excitement, the enthusiasm, the anointing, the declaration behind that, the reasoning behind that, all of that would be the enemy's covert plan to kind of annihilate that which with the Lord is already released in the Spirit. The Lord says, I have given you access to the heavenly realm where all this has taken place. It's not enough to say, heaven come to earth. Come on, praise God, praise God, praise God. Those are important things to know. But those, if they are not working, imparting those particular scriptures, you know, in Matthew 6, talking, or Matthew 5 and 6, talking to us about that, then it stays at a very immature, infantile place. And it's very difficult then, ooh, to break loose, to go forward, for that to increase. As I was speaking in the first class, the demonstration of the kingdom, I was talking about the idea that God is linear. He's not in a bubble, he's not in a circle, and he's certainly not in a box. So, you know, just as light goes forward, sound goes forward, and it's linear, and there's movement, it's active, our Lord is the same way. So therefore, when he says to us, I have created you to release my glory, to go, to move, to go forward motion from glory to glory, I'm going to make a way for that to happen. And that's how the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. In Habakkuk 2:14, because the Lord is saying, there's a momentum and I want you to ride that wave and I want you to be in that place where there's always motion moving as you are still before the Lord, of course. However, there's something about that stillness that can actually bring us into a point and a place of staying where you are, kind of like, I'm so still, I can't do anything. There's an understanding where God wants to give us in Scripture, I believe, that he says, you know, your place is with me, heart to heart. But when you understand my son, my Jesus, and the reason he came, and the reason he died and raised, and the reason that he is saying, here I am, the exact representation of me. When you understand that more and more and more, and you say, Lord, I just want that closeness to see how your kingdom really moves, then we're going to be cooking and tracking even more, even faster. There's an acceleration coming that I believe is already kind of, you know, I can hear the motors going, vum, 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 you know, revving up right now. And the Lord's saying, come on, don't stop. Come on, come on, come on. So if you have a, you know, if you have a song of the Lord, you sing it until the Lord says, okay, that was good. You don't stop. You see, not because I'm not saying that to anybody in particular. I'm just saying. Because a song of the Lord is the song of the Lord. So whatever that would be, and the Lord understands order and services and all that because it's his deal. So don't say, I'm not saying that we need to do something differently. I'm just saying if we posture ourselves for the completeness of whatever the Lord's doing at a particular moment, and even not understanding how and why, God is going to change what's going on in our life. He wants to open up the atmosphere, wants us to be used to do that. He wants to create an atmosphere of brilliance, change, and freedom. Because it's there, that's heaven. And he wants that to be so open around us that we'll step in and do the craziest things, think the craziest thoughts, sing the craziest notes, whatever it would be. There will be such an impact personally for us during those times that we'll say, God, you're amazing. You're amazing. I'm in awe of you. You aren't just awesome. I'm in awe. Okay? I used Carl and Darling as just easy examples, so thanks, guys. You know, I'm going to use you again. They're in awe of this little baby, obviously. But what God wants to do inside of them as parents is use this as, hello, guess what? This was me. It wasn't you. This was me. There will be an increase in awe for me because of my greatness, my majesty, my grandeur. This is who I am. It's about me, and you get to have her. Watch what I do through you, which is me inside of you, for her. So every blessing that he gives us, he's saying, do you see me? Do you see me? Do you see me? And our focus won't be on the blessing as much as it will be on me. And that's, in the world, what we get messed up in. We really do. It's like, give me the blessing. I want the blessing. I've got family. I've got friends. I've got money. I've got health. I've got. And that's really good. God wants to bless us, no doubt about it. But what if we're persecuted? What if we suffer? Do we see the blessing in that? Do we understand the nature of God in that? Do we just rebuke the devil? Or do we see that there's a time, maybe, that God is saying, you know what, you're going to increase. Don't you think my son suffered? It's like, whoa, yeah. Now she's getting kind of flaky now. Now she's going from blessing to suffering. I don't know. I don't want to track with this one. But the point is that the Lord himself is in everything. To what degree? That's what he's saying. You need to know me. You need to understand me. Think of me. Know my ways within the covenant. Know how the old covenant and the new covenant really connect. And they do. We're going to talk about that more. What am I doing? What am I doing? If we get up in the morning and go, what are you doing today? What's going on? He'll say, I believe, what are you doing today with me? So as we partner with the Lord, okay, we are ready for the shift of the ages every day. And when we speak out, there's a shift here, I can feel it, which we do all the time because there is, because we're increasing. So we will say that, and it's true. And there is an increase, and there is a shift, and that's great. But the Lord is saying, your heart, is it shifting now? Your heart, is it increasing now? If Jesus grew and he increased in wisdom, Jesus, how do you increase in wisdom, Jesus? What is that? Stature, ha ha ha. And favor with Papa and the people around him. Okay? He increased. So the favor of people around him. Something's going on. Man, it's like, it's either, yeah, the Whaley Mutiny on the Bounty, no, or something really good. I like laughing. That's really good. It's laughing or screaming. I don't know which, you know, I don't know. Hope it's laughing. I'm sure it's good. Just kidding. So, where was I? Wow. Yay. I mean, that was the choir here of heaven going, yes, amen. I like it. We want these kids to grow up, you know, with the hilarity of heaven. So when they wake up in the morning, and, you know, and they're just like bouncing off the walls and you're trying to get your coffee, you know, that you're just like, I can track with my kids, you know, because they're just not carrying the burdens of the world like I am. I need to be like them. Is that true? It's like, that's what I want. And if I'm not there, I'm missing something. It's like, yeah. Oh, wow, that's true. That's a good word. Wow, that's so good. Oh, my goodness. I was, Inez, my buddy, you know, she's so cool. And she's an Iris, and you know, and she works with Casa de Jesus, and she also is our director in Brazil for Frontline Brazil. We're very excited about that. So we talk all the time. We Skype. And I was talking to her the other night, and I was telling her just, you know, general stuff that was going on here. Some of it was just crazy, wacky, wild, weird. And I just started laughing, and I was just talking to her and laughing. She goes, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yeah." Well, I had this picture on Facebook. I was telling Tiana and Bethany. I've got to segue here and tell you this. And I had this picture, and I had it on, then I took it off because I was just, you know, when I said goodbye to Pastor Bill at the airport, I wasn't glad to see him go, you know, but I was, you know, because he's going to the nations. But I put this picture on, you know, we were smiling, and he was kissing my face or something. And, you know, it's like, oh, Lord, I just stuck that thing up there. Then I took it off because, you know, I put up there, I said, oh, one of my favorite places to hang out or one of my favorite places to be. And so, you know, Bethany came over the other day and she said, "So it's one of your favorite places to say goodbye to your husband?" I said, "Like, no, it's not. I just like airports because you get to go somewhere, you know. And I know if I get on a plane, I'm going to go to a nation more than likely." So, you know, that's what I meant. So anyway, don't want to be misunderstood at all. So that picture came off at that moment just because, you know, anyway, moving on. So it was a great picture, though. But the point is that I got excited about those kinds of things. So I was telling Inez, and I started laughing, and I was so wrapped up in the glory and the presence of God. She looked at me, she said, "Oh, I've got to help you. If your favorite place is an airport, I have to take you somewhere, get you on a holiday, or take care of you or something." So we were just laughing about that. But the point of that is that I was overcome telling her about the things that God was doing. Okay, I want to show, let's go to some scriptures here. 1 Corinthians 14:1 and then Revelation 19:10. Can we put those up, please, Ash? Thank you, Jesus. You're so good. Familiar verses. Pursue love. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, certainly when I was preaching up here a couple weeks ago, but certainly in the classes that we've been having. Pursuing love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. And so we've talked a little bit about that already. And you can put the next verse up if you would as well. Why is it so important? Does that minimize the other gifts? No. Doesn't minimize the gifts. But the Lord is saying especially that you would prophesy. And Lawrence is going to be teaching about the prophetic and such this Thursday. And so why is that so important? Not stealing your thunder here. You know, this might be a little segue here. But prophecy is so extremely important because it is the declaration of Him, bottom line. And there's all kinds of nuances that you're going to hear about. But we are saying, "Ha, you, God, say." And there's power in the spoken word, and we know about that. And death and life are in the power of the tongue, right? And we know that the Lord spoke the worlds into existence, the world into existence, and all the heavens and heaven and earth and stars, etc. And so we know that there's power in the word. So the Lord says, especially prophecy. Well, my goodness, if he wants us to declare and decree and prophesy, it's really important for us to understand why. And I'm going to let him really, you can jump into that on Thursday. But why? Why is that so important? What does it mean? How does that have anything to do with the testimony of Jesus, which is up here, Revelation 19:10? "And I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, 'Do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.'" Okay, what's interesting here, many times we go to the very last part and say, "Yes, I know that's really good. I sing that. It's a really good verse." Testimony of Jesus is the spirit, okay, behind the prophetic on any front, any way that the prophetic is known and understood, which, again, come to the class. But the words before that are speaking about what man was doing that was directly opposite to what needed to be revealed. Okay? "I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said to me, 'What are you doing? You don't worship me. You worship Jesus, no angel. No, I know you feel you're in the presence of something almighty, but I'm not the almighty. It's got to be about him, not just supernatural feelings and things and gushy stuff. That's my extra wording here. Okay? What are you doing? Don't do this. It's the testimony of Jesus, and that's the spirit behind that will release the declaration of heaven that will bring the culmination, track with me here, the culmination of things to come to actually happen. It will bring it forth. It will bring out God's intention. What does he want? Why are we here? What are we doing? What's the reason? There are many of them, but the Lord says, when you understand my covenantal love for you, and how that started, where that came from, what hasn't changed, what I'm really like, you won't be able to contain anything on the inside. You can't. It's like, but this is me. I've showed up. This is huge. And it will shift us in the way that we do family, the way we do job, the way we do money. The way we do ministry. It shouldn't be segmented like that, because really ministry is just the outpouring of the testimony of Jesus into family, into people, into the economy, into the marketplace. And then we little humans go, oh, no. This is family over here. This is ministry over there. It's like, whoa. Just saying. Think on that one. It's like, what does she mean? You have to ask God about that one. And so let me throw some things out here. Let's look at Deuteronomy 6:6-9 and 17. Check this out. Now, this is Old Testament. This is Old Covenant. But this is where the conviction of God for us comes from the people who walked with the Lord back then. And now here we have Jesus with the fulfillment of this aspect of the covenant that is moving to come to the end of the age. This is incredible, and we live in that time right now. I mean, we should be in such awe of God. It's like, oh my gosh, I've got to learn as much as I can, not just up here in the cranial matter, but learn in that knower. It's like, oh my gosh, I really need to know you. I need to know you. I need to know you and what you did and steward well what you've given. So these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and daughters, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord, his testimonials, and his statutes, which he's commanded you. Okay, so back in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. Hang on a sec. Oh, it's Pastor Bill. One moment. I just kind of figured. I heard that little ding, ding, ding. Let's see what he says. All right. Okay. Sam, I'm gonna give this to you. Are you in here? She's in the nursery. Jamie, I'll give it to you. And you can read, tell me when he's finished downloading whatever it is, okay? There you go. Okay, just if you can just text him, hi, it's Jamie, I'm going to be reading this. So you never know what husbands will say. It's always a good idea. But anyway, back in the Old Covenant, we have a good marriage. So anyway, Deuteronomy 6. It's all good. What was the command to the parents at the day, in the day, for them to wear their little bracelets, to be able to, and around their neck as well, and the lockets, which would repeat all the time to them, to their kids, something that God had done, which was actually the release of those, you know, promises that they had up to the time and the testimonies of what God had been doing from their perspective and what information that they had. So they needed to do that. And so it said, do this with your children. In other words, this is important. Everything you do, parents, New Covenant parents, based on what they did. It's not that we're doing what they did, but we're seeing the pattern. We're seeing the heart behind what God was asking. There's a fulfillment of this old covenant through Jesus. But he's saying, I want you to bind this and wrap this around your neck, and I want your kids to get it. In other words, I want them to be sustained. I want them to actually take who you are, what you carry, and what I've released in the world as well. And hopefully it's good, what you carry anyway. Okay? And your children will grow up in that environment, and this will just become who they are, and they will then be able to eventually pass the torch to somebody else, because the testimony of my greatness will be so strong in them. There will be an opportunity for a sustained move of God. And that's what I want to give you. I want to come back for a pure and spotless bride, and I need to have my bride making herself ready, and you have the great opportunity to know me that way and pass that torch. So what will the enemy try to do? To water you down. If you think back, oh, I was on fire 2 weeks ago, 3 months ago, 1 year ago, I had this fire of God. I had this boldness. I just had this desire. Something went awry if you're not farther along than that, because that's not the nature of God. Nature of God is to grow and then sustain, meaning continue to grow. Sustain doesn't mean you stop. Sustain means that you continue to grow. You continue to change. You continue to release. There's more, there's more, there's more. It's like, wow, this is really exciting. So a parent's greatest heartbreak when they're in the kingdom would be that a child would stop, or not only stop, but then reverse and start to go backwards and start to forget. And that's the nature of the kingdom. When we remember and we declare and we decree, God blesses that. He energizes that. And when the enemy is moving, he's moving to halt that progressive opportunity that he gives each one of us. And he's very sneaky, and he does it well. And he wants to take advantage of the children of the king, the child of the king. He wants us to be able to go, oh my gosh, Angie, do you remember when? Do you know what I did? Oh my gosh, Catherine. Oh my gosh. Anybody, you know, in here, name all of you guys. Do you know what God did? This is the importance of the testimony. This is the importance of remembering. And when we don't remember, we don't think, we don't speak, we don't dwell on, we don't meditate, then we don't have that same access any longer. We're not doing what he's saying to do. He's saying, stir it up. Stir up that gift within. Prophesy. Push it out. Speak it out. Release it out. And I'm calling you to do that, and I've given you to do that. And if you realize, oh my gosh, that's where I am not, or that's where I am only partially, that's where you dig your feet in and go, okay, I get it. This is a rhema word of God for me, and now there's going to be a change. I'm not going to complain anymore and say, this is what I used to be. Oh my gosh, it's really hard. Oh, is that a good word? God is, he's really serious. And you know what? Do you know the ones will be targeted more than anything? The ones that have world changer right on their back, right on their front. You're a world changer. Has anyone ever said that to you? Have they spoken that to you? I have here. Okay, you're a world changer. You're this, you're that. It's like, bam, bam, bam. If that's not guarded, I mean, so strongly by declaring and decreeing, yes, it's true, and here's why. Because my focus is on him. Look at him. That's why we've got pictures around here to remind us, oh my gosh, those kids in Mozambique. Oh my gosh, that lady in Ghana. Do it again, Lord. Look at that woman. Oh my gosh. All these things in here are for that. And what's interesting, in the Old Testament, you know, there's a, you know, put something around your neck, put something on your wrist. There's a physical object there. The Lord knows us. And that's what they needed to do. And they needed to repeat that. They needed to talk about these things when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You'll bind them as a sign on your hand. They'll be as frontals on your forehead. You'll write them on the doorposts of your house, on your gates. I mean, does that sound a bit weird? Extreme? You're going, oh, oh. The idea is you will be consumed with my greatness to the degree that you can. And it's like, oh my gosh, that just drives me to my knees thinking, oh my gosh, Lord, what have I forgotten? What have I not remembered? It's not just Andy who says, I can't believe that this is happening to me. Who on God's green earth would believe that I could be da-da-da-da? And it's not about Andy, but he's realizing the majesty of God, saying, Andy, I'm going to put you in front of someone in Africa, and you're going to stand there, and the blind eye will be open, the deaf will hear, the lame will walk. And then you're going to remember this. And so when you go and you preach a class or you teach a class, you're going to be so filled up with the remembrance of the goodness of me working through you, because you can't do it on your own, that you just can't even imagine how wonderfully high the anointing will be on your life. Don't you think God's smart? Don't you think that when he says you'll do the greater works because I go to the Father? Don't you think he's saying, I just, you know, I want my kids to be healed. I want everybody to be healed, and you get to do it. Okay, I do. It's more than that. We have the opportunity of releasing the glory of God every time we step out, every time we remember, every time we read a passage of scripture, every time we agree, every time we meditate even on this. You should keep the commandments of the Lord and his testimonials and statutes. I had a picture of Mackenzie this morning. I told her. I was thinking of Kenzie. I don't know why. At the moment, I was doing this, and I was thinking of Kenzie in my dining room this morning. And I pulled into the parking lot, and I just had Kenzie on my mind. I walked into the bathroom from that back door here, and Kenzie walks in. It's like, hey, I was just thinking about you. I'm thinking, what, God, what is it? What is it? What is it? Why? Why am I thinking about her? I love her, I care about her, but why am I thinking about her? And I just said, I'm really glad to see you. I'm really glad you're here. God's got something for you, or whatever I said to you. It's like, whoa, I have an opportunity to be a blessing to her for the glory of God in her life for some reason today. She'll have to figure that out. I don't know. But one thing I said to her, I said, hey, Kenz, remember last year in Mozambique? Because we're in the Word all the time. You know, and I said, remember it? We were tearing apart that one scripture. Was that, what was it, Psalm 102? No, she goes, no, it was Psalm 19. It was like, poof. And I was so impressed. I said, you remember that? I mean, remember? You weren't there unless you were there, so... We went through this, you know, line by line for a long time. You know, we just tore it up, blah, 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 and we went after it. You know, and it was really interesting. And I it was just on my mind. And the Lord knew I was going to ask Kenzie just that when I was in the bathroom. So take a look at this, and I'll show you why. That's important. Wait, where are you going here? Ash, hang on a sec. Thank you. You should diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonials, and his statutes. Okay, remember that. Now flip over. I don't have it. Flip over to Psalm 19 for a second, guys. There are 14 verses there, and we ripped it up, and we just annihilated this passage, you know, at one point. Other things we did, too. There's lots of memory and such, but at one point we just really devoured this psalm. It was really cool. But if you look, and I encourage you to read it because it's just powerful. The Lord gave such insight last summer. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. Verse 7. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous together. They are more desirable than gold, yes, more than fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Now let's go down to 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God. It's important to think about that when God asks us to keep his commandments, okay? Pursue love, go after the greater gifts, go after prophecy. Okay, boom. You say to do it, I need to do it. But then he takes us deeper and he says, remember the testimony behind that. Huh. And then he says, and remember, keep my statutes. What's a statute? I mean, Michelle knows what statutes are, statute of limitation and things like that, okay? But the statute is underneath, or the guns behind the commandment, the reason behind, the bigger picture, the residing principle, okay? What God is saying, what's he really saying? If he says, honor your father and your mother, okay, well, that's a commandment. I'll honor my father and my mother. Because if you do, and when you do, life will go really well for you. It's like, oh, well, that's really nice. Life will go really well for me. So there's an understanding, there's a deeper understanding, which encourages me to release the nature of the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, okay? So when I'm reading a passage of Scripture and I see, wow, Jesus was talking to his disciples and he told them, he may have rebuked them and said, get behind me, Satan, or what spirit do you guys have? You want to go burn people up? Where's that spirit? I mean, you know, he's talking to his buds who are really close. He's not talking to the Pharisees. He's talking to the brethren. Come on. But he's so serious. He's saying, no, no, you're on the wrong track. You're not listening to the Father. No, I know you love me, but no. Okay? So he tells them, sometimes through parables, sometimes through stories, and you know, and sometimes just directly, no. Because he doesn't want them to get, okay, he doesn't want them to get dislodged from the power of the testimony. He wants them not to be this obedient, you know, give me your salute type of kid as a disciple. He says, I want you to understand that when you see me and you see the Father and that we're one, it's going to drive you to dig deeper as to who I am, why I'm doing what I'm doing, why I have cultivated you to the point of being able to even discover more about my attributes, more about my nature, more about the way I am, the way I roll. And you are absolutely going to be one who will stand up, bah, and demonstrate the kingdom, not because I'm supposed to do signs and wonders, but because I have this inner drive from God, because he knows that you want to have a sustained culture for the prophetic, sustained culture for the kingdom, sustained culture of faith, not fear. You've got to understand the power of the testimony and carry it a lot. You want to get out of the dumps? You start feeling depressed? You start feeling down? You stop and start remembering, what have you done? Who are you? Let me go back. Let me go back to a journal. Let me go back. Let me call a friend. Let's talk about those miracles in Mozambique. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about that. Oh my gosh, can you believe we had a healing here at church last week? Oh my gosh, we should be talking about the things that God is doing. They should be coming out of our mouth, not talking about negative stuff, not talking about things we don't like. That's the direct opposite of what God says the purpose of our mouth is. That's why he hates gossip, because it kills the testimony. He hates it. He hates it. He hates it. He hates it when we're negative, with our mouths run, because it kills testimony. Oh my gosh, isn't that good? The Lord's saying, no, no. So, you know, when we hear no negativity, no negative agreement, no, 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 no. You know, God is saying, it's true, but here's why. Oh, yes, it will hurt you. Oh, no, it won't. It's just how I feel, just saying. Oh, no. It's not just saying, especially with the world changers in here. It's really true. We need to clean up our mouth, clean up our thoughts, clean those things up, and we can do that actually through the testimony. Isn't that beautiful? It's so good. I gave you a couple other scriptures, I think. Yeah, let's put up Psalm 119, 24 and 99. Thank you, Lord. I just encourage you to have some fun with some of these scriptures. I'm just literally lightly touching on them for time, okay? Well, they're just so good. And you know what? If you went to Moses in the past and you remember Psalm 19, go back, because it can jumpstart you. Every person who went to Mozambique last year should be so on fire now But every person who went to Ghana 4 years ago should be so on fire now. Do you see what I mean? It's not about you. It's about the nature of what God is wanting to do and recognizing what has happened to snuff that fire. Okay? And you can use the power of the testimony to disengage junk. Who wants to disengage junk in their life? Okay? Hello. Power of the testimony. Go back. You know, sit and talk. If you're married, talk to your husband, talk to your wife, and say, remember when. Think of people who, I know my kids, you know, they put this video together all the time for their kids, for Judah and Josiah, you know, for each birthday, and it's like, oh, remember when they, you know, put their boots on, and remember when they, you know, ate a cookie sideways, you know, I mean, it's kind of like that, you know, it is, but it's sweet, and it's cool. I mean, you can't do everything, but it's kind of like they just see Jesus in everything. It's like, okay, and we're going, that's really cool. I like how he eats that cookie. I don't have the same understanding maybe you do, but that's really, he is so cute. And so, but beyond the cute, we want to get to who did this. It's got to point to Jesus. Otherwise, they would be no different than any other family. Do you understand? Any other family who likes their kids. I mean, what family doesn't like their kids? Don't answer that. Okay, but you know what I'm saying? It's got to point to the magnificence of God and that we have a desire to show that when we're saying, look at my kid on the basketball team. It's not just look at my kid. Look how smart she is. Look how big he is or she is. Look how brilliant they are. Look how many scores they have and whatever, you know. It's, look at my God, I get on my face and I cry before God because he's so big, because he's the God who will part the Red Sea, and I know he's done it before, and he'll do it again for me. Amen? Okay, Psalm 119, 24 and 99. Your testimonies are also my delight. They are my counselors. Come on, how many of us would go to a counselor who would tell us something that our itching ears want to hear? And God is saying, if you would go and pull the testimonies up of what you've seen, what you've heard, what you've been privy to, you will be able to say, well, that's stupid counsel. Honest to goodness, that's just wrong. It's not the Lord. It's someone's opinion. Maybe they took a scripture, but they didn't have the meaning behind it for the now. Wow. You don't think the enemy wants to disengage people and get them off their game in some respect, or at least retard them? So it's going to take, they're not retarded, okay? But pull back so that, you know, so if I can just stop them. Forward momentum is what the Lord's really trying to do. So he can take us right here today, and if we go, yeah, count me in. Do you know that that the enemies of heaven are going, no, I hate this. A culture that loves testimony. Oh, no, they're figuring it out more. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. And we're going to hear more about it. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Not against teachers. And teachers. Just saying. We love you, Ashley. Okay, John 14, 8 through 12. And then we're wrapping up here for real. There's two of them, John 14, 8 through 12, and then Psalm 78, 9 through 11. And you guys write these down. And I tell you, when you go to lunch today, you're going to have a lot to talk about, aren't you? Ah, testimony time. Okay, John 14, 8 through 12. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's enough for us. Jesus said, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on mine own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Before we get to verse 12, can you imagine, Philip? Okay, I was thinking about this. I was trying to imagine this verse. Philip going, oh my gosh. Wow. I asked the question of my heart, and Jesus didn't just answer it with one. He said, let me give you the fullness. You see, he saw his heart. He wasn't a Pharisee. He wasn't hypocritical. He was saying, help me. And Jesus went, he was a little bit strong, but he just gave him, you know, he gave him a lot here. Okay, and then finally he says, you know, the famous verse 12 that everybody quotes for the demonstration of the kingdom, and we do, and we memorize it and go, yeah, truly, truly, I say, this is what my role is. I get to do the greater works, but we forget what comes before it. Think about it. It goes together. Verse 12, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father. That means everything. That means parting the Red Sea. Come on. That means everything, the greater works. And when you look that up in Scripture and you go back to the original meaning, greater works is not talking about feeding the poor, which we're supposed to do. It's a no-brainer. You got somebody without clothes, you give them clothes. If you need somebody, meet somebody who needs water, you give them water. You see people who can't eat, you feed them. These are not the greater works. These are the works that you do as a disciple of Jesus. And then you demonstrate the fullness of how you can bring about the fullness to these people. I mean, it's multiplying the loaves and the fishes. It's going to be, you know, discovering water out of a rock. Wait, that's Old Testament. I mean, didn't the Lord sustain the Israelites? Come on, 40 years? They didn't have to buy clothes. They didn't have to buy water. They didn't even have to prepare their food. They had room service given to them. I mean, everything was given to them. And the Lord said, I'm going to show you. But guess what? You get to mature after that. And now you're going to contend for it. No more baby pamper time. So the Lord is saying, it's time. Pampers have got to go. I'm running now. And it's going to be through the testimony and redigging the well of testimony for us. And then finally, the last verse, and this is where some people made some mistakes, sons of Ephraim, okay? The sons of Ephraim who were archers equipped with bows, yet they turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God, and they refused to walk in his law. They forgot his deeds and his miracles that he had shown them. I found this verse going, oh my gosh, Lord, where have I forgotten? What would Facebook be like if we spent our time really decreeing and declaring things of the Lord, not in a weird way where someone would go, okay, yeah, there's that. She's one of those. But what if someone knew, man, that Johnny Jones, that one is in love with Jesus or something's going on. I mean, all I see is, wow, something cool about God. I was on the phone last night, it's my closing testimony, with a girl from college years ago, definitely a non-believer, really good friend. We talk once in a while and all that. And, you know, the Lord says, stay on the phone with her, stay on the phone with her. So I'm on the phone for several hours, 1.5 to 2 hours with her. And it was like, man, oh, man, oh, man, you know, a few times I'm talking about the Lord, just a few, you know, oh, the Lord helped me. She goes, well, you're amazing. We're during this season with your parents. I said, oh, no, actually, I'm not. I'm not trying to sound like, you know, no, I'm not. You know, it's not one of those. I said, no. She goes, well, aren't you anxious and nervous and tired? And she said all these things. I said, oh, you know, not really. I said, sometimes, you know, it's like, wow. And I said, I'm a joyful person. And I said, I love the Lord. Silence. We've been friends for a long time. And then finally, she said this to me. She said, you know, your spirituality, that's what the word she used, your spirituality is speaking to me. And it was like, my spirituality? I probably have mentioned the Lord by name 1 or 2 times, but everything else that was being said was positive, and any time the negative came in, which it did, because she's natural, okay, it was smash, smash, smash. Not smash the person, but smash the negative. Like, oh, well, you know, turn it around. So she feels empowered. She doesn't feel stupid, but she feels like, oh, okay, something happened to me. In other words, she just got splashed on by the testimony of Jesus. She got dumped on goodness of God. She got dumped on the power and the positive nature of the king. She was dumped for like an hour and a half. That was the intent. And then at the very end, and she said, "Well, your spirituality has really helped you in speaking to me." And I said, "Oh, well." And then I thought, go for it. When she said that, it was like the end of this. I said, "Oh, you know, there were some really cool things that happened. I mean, you just amazing. You think this is amazing. You want to hear him?" She goes, "Yeah." She was like, "Prime the pump here." And I told her, you know, about the salvations, you know, the people who were dying on life support and God bringing them into the kingdom, salvations in ICU and, you know, a couple of things. I just kind of, I said, do you want to hear one more? Yeah, I want to hear one more. Oh my gosh, you're kidding me. She wants to hear this? This is like, and I told her, you know, about a healing and told her about different things that went on. You know, some of them. And it was, wow, she wouldn't have listened before that had I not spent all this time fielding, honestly, the negativity going, don't go there. Nope. I felt like this ninja on the phone. Serious? It's like, no. I'm not going to. I will not agree with that. This is this thinking. Don't agree with that. No, I know it sounds like, oh, yeah, come on. It's no big deal. Everybody has a bad day. No, it wasn't that thinking. It was, I don't want to agree with that. No, it's important that I demonstrate Jesus in my mouth. And then I talked to Lawrence on the way home from, you know, Starbucks last night, and I made some comment that wasn't 100% Jesus. And he looked over the phone because of our relationship. He goes, whoa. You don't want to say that. It was just not as positive as I am. And so, just saying. And so he goes, "Now, P&P, you don't want to be saying it that way." And I said, "You're right. You're absolutely right." We laughed because we're so close, you know. So, you know, we're all helping one another out because Jesus is at the core of this. And testimony of Jesus 24/7 is the spirit of prophecy that you will hear more about. And we'll open up the windows of heaven where there's an absolute shift in the atmosphere where you can, quote unquote, feel the anointing. It's like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. The invasion, the Holy Spirit is just waiting for us to have an encounter after encounter after encounter with him. That's our job. And we can do that more effectively as we understand the nature of the testimony and give it. Not as a report, little missionary report, but as my amazing God report. However we say it. But it's so stirring on the inside of us, we just can't even contain ourselves. Even if we don't, we want to be careful how we say. But we're going, "God, I want to get this across. I want to get this across because you're so amazing. How can I demonstrate you?" And he says, just, you know, say, "I'll pray for you." Shh. Really? That's enough in this situation. But not in this one. You better be more direct, and you better be like Jesus, where Jesus says, "Shut your mouth," to Peter. What do you think Peter did when he said, "Get behind me, Satan"? He's like, "Excuse me?" Oh, that's Jesus. Hey, who are we carrying? But if it's not directed by the Lord, and it's not his way and his timing, then it's harsh. But I don't think any of us would call Jesus harsh, because Jesus knew the weight that was coming against Peter. Do you think it would ever stop the King of Kings? Really? Maybe if he agreed with it. But in and of itself? But Jesus' love for that person, for Peter, was so strong that he said, "Get behind me, Satan." He spoke to that which was empowering Peter at that moment. When Peter was trying to talk Jesus out of going to the cross, kind of dumb, okay? But don't we do the same thing, thinking we hear the voice of God? It's the voice of God. And Jesus is going, "It's not the voice of God." Why do you think that's in Scripture? to let us know that there are things that are so damaging that we say that can actually ignite hell against us and against those we love. And then we just cooperate with a nice little, oh, supernatural plan of the enemy and not even know it until maybe it's too late. So we're in serious times. And the way to guard ourselves in a good way, not in a fearful way, is saying, okay, it's time. Time for me to grow in my understanding and appreciation of you and your greatness. Just walk around. Walk around the house and go, tame my tongue, Lord. Tame my tongue, Lord. Tame my tongue, Lord. Tame my tongue. And I will release my tongue, Lord. I will release my tongue. I will release my tongue. Watch what he does. Father, we just praise you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that you are desiring for us to grow in wisdom and stature and favor with you, God, and man, as Jesus did. And we thank you, Lord, that we posture ourselves this morning to say yes and amen to everything in your word and to say no more that I am refusing anything other than the greatness of who you are and the greatness in my life. And Father, that I posture myself to say, have your way, speak to me. Holy Spirit, speak inside of me now and help me see how big you are and how great you believe I am. Thank you, God. Thank you that I can be a joint heir with you. Thank you.
He had more questions. So there was this good dialogue happening between Pastor Bill at home. Texting me. Seemed to be the youngest. Oh, he wanted to point this out. Seemed to be the youngest person on the metro because of the joy he observed in Pastor Bill's eyes and the manner of himself. So that's a testimony of God's love shining through his eyes. Carly is loving her opportunities to pray for women and share her love for India with the delighted people. And today, they ministered at a Sunday service for Pastor Rohit's church, and there was so much joy and laughter, which is unusual in Indian services. Pastor George played the conga drums like I do sometimes. We know how that is, joyously and passionately, and the people danced and rejoiced so much in worship. It set the stage for a message of freedom and joy, which brought the laughter and expressions of joy that he mentioned before. Several healings were evidenced afterward because of a general prayer and then more personal and individualized prayer. A man heard Pastor Bill singing in the service room where he was in the neighborhood, came to the church to catch the end of the message, and came up for prayer. He said his whole life had been a life of trouble. I told him Jesus was the problem solver. Did he know him? He gave some confused explanation, so I invited him to pray to invite Jesus in. He prayed right out loud to receive the Lord, and then I prayed for his life's troubles, and I encouraged him to worship Jesus from now on, rather than concentrate on his troubles. So he agreed with a thankful smile, and a man came into the kingdom of heaven. In that late afternoon, we left for Pastor Joyce's church, a Baptist church, and it was a house church that was packed out for the meeting. Many amazing testimonies were given before Pastor Bill even started. Deliverances, healings, job circumstances changed, etc., etc. It set the stage for a message of, again, joy about how they can call in the 700 names and titles of Jesus to meet every need they have as sons and daughters. Again, this meeting broke out into laughter and joy. It carried over into an expectation during the ministry time that led to healings during the prayer over the whole group and opportunities to pray for precious Indian families and more healing for some individuals after that. At the end, almost every person shook my hand and Carly's hand. This was very unusual, especially for Indian women. Jesus is moving in India in powerful ways. More freedom is evident, more joy is evident, more laughter is evident. So different than we first began to come to India. Amen. And these are just the pictures, I guess. So check it out on Frontline's website.
Thank you. Amen. What a great way to end a message on testimony. Amen. Well, Father, thank you for this wonderful day, for the attention today. And Lord, that nothing will be able to be stolen away, Father, from anybody that received today. Thank you, Father, that the word hit great soil today. And it will culminate, and there will be fruitfulness that will come as a result that will remain and shall be sustained in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. God bless you.